Hello, and welcome to the ADHD Manual Podcast. My name is Abby Chow. I'm a marriage and family therapist, an ADHD certified clinical services provider, and a proud ADHDer. This is a podcast for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and those who love us, which covers pretty much everybody. Growing up with a colorful brain and a black and white world can make us feel like aliens. The manual we were given to guide us through life doesn't have any diagrams of the parts we have. I've decided to stop throwing away my parts and start throwing away this useless manual to write my own. So kick off your shoes, have a seat, and take a break from fitting yourself into a mold that's not your shape. You belong here. Allies, welcome to the ADHD planet. ADHDers, welcome home. Hello, friends. Welcome back. Abby here for another... installment of the executive function series, which like all seems like words that are like too strong for what I'm doing here. series, what? Who do I think I am? Executive functions, what? What am I, a scientist? Basically, I'm saying that it's very chill, and I'm just spouting stuff off that I've picked up on. That's for everybody. You don't gotta be a professional to pick up what I'm laying down. In other words, so today. I was hoping to talk about self-awareness as an executive function. And this was a toughie because self-awareness is really difficult to describe. Because whereas like other executive functions can more easily be separated out and identified like on their own, you know, like organization, prioritization, working memory, things like that. Self-awareness actually feels to me more like a team of several other executive functions, working together. So as I was planning this episode, I kept running headfirst into like every other executive function, you know, it was like this weird, like funhouse or like house of mirrors or something, you know, like I kept like trying to describe self-awareness or self-monitoring, just another kind of way to look at it, and just kind of kept running into like other stuff, you know? So even like defining, even starting at the beginning, like defining self-awareness or self-monitoring concisely feels impossible because there can be so many ways to interpret it. Like maybe it means metacognition, or in other words, like thinking about thinking, you know, like being able to reflect on your own behavior and your own thought processes. Maybe it means how well you know yourself, you know, like your strengths and weaknesses, your values and your goals. And maybe it means something closer to like, proprioception or like spatial awareness. Kinesthesia, which is like having a sense of where your body is in space and how you're moving it. Maybe it means an awareness of yourself socially, like picking up on social cues and reading how other people are responding to your verbal and nonverbal communication. Or maybe it means an awareness of yourself in time, like what you're doing, what you'll do next, how long each thing will take you and is taking you. Or maybe it's like a live play-by-play of your actions as you're doing them. You know, there's just so many different ways you could look at it. And that was really... So it made it really hard to sum up. So I decided to like lean into that. Just lean into the complexity and the intricacy of it. And in order to do that, in order to grasp how and why this is so intricate, it helps go back to our understanding of executive function as a whole as it relates to ADHD, right? Because no one can really point to a particular area of the brain and say, this is the part responsible for executive function. Executive function happens here. Just like you can't pinpoint a piece of the brain where ADHD lives, you know? So the heart of ADHD and executive function is the communication and connections between multiple parts of the brain. It's just like you can't call, like, one person with a cello an orchestra, right? Like, it's just some poor sucker plucking strings at a open mic night, you know? And this is actually the metaphor that Dr. Thomas Brown uses to describe both ADHD and executive function. Because the impairments or symptoms of ADHD are not in any particular skill, or they don't lie in any lack of specific knowledge, right? But it's how our executive function makes all those skills and knowledge work together in the right place, in the right way, at the right time. And Dr. Brown says this is like an orchestra in which every musician like plays their own instrument very well, but without a good conductor, the music that comes from all of them playing their own good music separately at the same time, it sounds like chaos together, right? You need someone kind of pointing to different musicians and, you know, telling this part, this instrument to be louder, this one to be quieter, this one to fade out at this time, this one to come in at a certain time, you know, like we need, something orchestrating the whole thing. And that is what ADHD is, right? It's not, a deficiency in any instrument or skill. It's an issue with the conductor and how it gets all the instruments to cooperate. So this is a quote from Dr. Brown that kind of sums it up. So he says, in reality, there is no conscious conductor within the human brain. There are networks of neurons that prioritize and integrate all of our cognitive functions. If these networks are impaired, as they are in ADHD, then that individual is likely to be impaired in the management of a wide range of cognitive functions, regardless of how much he or she may wish otherwise. So I've been just, you know, tossing all that around, you know, tossing that quote around and talking it out. And a big shout out to my therapist, who really helped me find a direction and a way to organize this episode. They're amazing. They just like listened to me word vomit for a long time and then just like was able to repeat back to me some themes that they noticed. So that was amazing. Definitely a co-writer of this episode, my therapist. But I kept, after I, you know, talked all that out, I kept coming back to like, why do I want to talk about this? Like, what's the point? What is the heart? Like, what is the, what's the purpose of this, this episode, but also this podcast, right? Like, what is my goal here? What do I want people to take away? What do I want, like, the underlying, you know, what do I want the sheet music, you know, like, what do I want the sheet music to be like, what is the big piece that I'm trying to get all the instruments to, create together? And it's, I kept coming away with, like, I want, you know, I want people to just have more compassion. You know, I want people to have more compassion for others, for themselves. And I want to just like point out, I think a common thing that I keep bringing up in a lot of different ways is that like all the things, there's just something to be said about a core feature of ADHD, which is the fact that, which is the core experience of like struggling intensely with things that other people constantly tell you are easy, you know, or are simple, or are just a matter of willpower, or just a matter of like putting your mind to it, you know? And I often come back to that core experience, and I feel like I am just all the time trying to reframe those quote unquote simple tasks, you know, like what are the things that we're asking people to do, and why are they not simple, you know, and how, you know, you can't really, that there are so many things that people, well, anything really, we can't say anything is easy because it's all really dependent on your neurotype, you know, it just depends on so much, you know, the context, the background, the skills, the brain, you know, it's so variable. So I just feel like that's something I'm constantly doing. So I thought about like, for example, coming back to like the self-awareness idea, like a common criticism, of ADHD, like distraction or like that kind of like trail of unfinished tasks, is like people will often say like, well, if they were just more self-aware of what they were doing, then they could be more organized. They could be more successful at seeing one task through to completion before moving on to another, right? Like they just need to think. They just need to think, you know? I know that was definitely a big message from my whole life, you know, like just getting the sense that like, oh, think, Gabby, come on, you know. There's this, you know, the idea that if we were only to be more self-aware. So that's why it's like, this is a common criticism. And so I think a lot of people refer to like self-awareness as an executive function in itself. But I want to break down like why, you know, how many things go into self-awareness, how many things there are to be aware of, and how it's really not easy. It's not simple. And as Dr. Brown points out, most people don't need to be constantly self-aware to complete routine tasks. You know, for most people, their conductor automatically like waves their little stick or baton. Shoot, I don't know what it's called. But you know, it automatically does it. You know, their conductor waves the little the thing, and it takes command of the flow of the entire orchestral piece, right? And so those people can focus on the individual instruments that need more attention or practice. You know, it's the conductor in many people's brains takes the conducting job and the orchestrating, collaborating job off their plate so that they can choose what to be self-aware of, and they can get better, and they can practice and things like that. They can hone skills or build knowledge, right? So for most people, self-monitoring happens without much conscious effort. And that's not the case for us. And so the idea that we're telling people that, oh, you just have to think, you just have to like, you know, stop for a second and realize what you're doing, or you just have to be aware of the task that you're supposed to be working on, you know, this idea that like there's so much like shot at us that involves the word just, you know, like you just need to do this, you just need to do this. And so I thought what I would do is I'm going to take one example from my childhood where I was criticized for failing a task that required self-awareness. Or so I was told, right? All it needed was a little self-awareness. That's what I was criticized for. And I'm going to break it down so that maybe neurotypicals or parents of ADHDers can have more compassion for how difficult that is for us and what you're asking of us. And also so ADHDers can have more appreciation for how hard you work. And maybe have a better sense of where you're getting stuck, you know, like, cause it's, you know, we're fed a lot of like quick solve stuff, you know, like try this, this planner, try this meditation, try this, you know, whatever. And it can just seem like there's this one blanket thing for what we're struggling with, when actually what we struggle with is making a ton of tiny little tasks work at the same time. Right. So, okay. I might have mentioned this example before, but I'm going to paint a, more of a picture. Okay. So, picture this, third grade, and, I am in the gifted and talented program, right? And we are making a, barometer to measure air pressure. We're making it out of a jar and a rubber band and some plastic wrap stretched over the top of the jar and, you know, taping like a stick on top of it, something like that. So about like five or six students are and the teacher are gathered around this little glass jar, you know, on a desk in a classroom. And my job was to hold the rubber band and the plastic wrap in place around the lip of the jar while other students like taped a stick or a straw or whatever to the top of the plastic. And the teacher was instructing us, and she told me to be careful and to hold on so we don't lose it and have to start over. And I don't remember what happened. But I don't think I'd got distracted. I don't think it was anything simple like that because I was terrified of her. we had more than one run-in. And she just, I don't know if it was me. I feel like I've talked to one of my friends who was in this program with me, and I don't think she got the same, like, just a terrifying person vibe from her. So I don't know, maybe it was just me, but yeah, I was already terrified of her, and I genuinely tried my best. Like, I mean, most of the time in general, always, but especially with her because she was scary. But all of a sudden the rubber band snapped up and it crumpled the plastic wrap with it. And the teacher said, Abby, remember when I said we have to be careful not to lose it? Well, we lost it. And, which would not be at all funny, even if it wasn't, super mean. But everyone laughed anyway. And now here I am more than two decades later, with this being one of my very few childhood memories, you know? So I'm going to take this example, and, this teacher, like, implied that, her mention of, like, you know, be careful, you know, just don't lose it, we just can't lose, that kind of thing, she was implying that this was one simple task that she asked me to do, you know, like, I think if back then it would have been more a part of, like, regular mainstream slang to say, you had one job, I'm sure she would have said that, but I want to tell her that it wasn't just one task that I messed up. It was actually several tasks that I messed up. No, just kidding. But it wasn't just one thing. It was an intricate, like, just a lot of skills and executive functions coming together to work on one thing. And so I want to tell her, if she were to be listening, I would say, hey, it wasn't just one job and it wasn't simple. And here's why. So let's see. So first of all, let's start with the most obvious things, right? About, like, I don't know, just being a third grader and also, like, having ADHD, you know, the things that everyone thinks about, right? Attention and focus. You know, I had to focus on this one task for a prolonged period of time, which really just involved, like, staying perfectly still. even though other kids around me were, like, talking and moving, and they were doing their own tasks on this tiny jar, and You know, we were pulled out of like regular class. And so we were missing like things that were going on in our main classrooms. And like there's just so much that I had to filter out and I did not focus on in order to focus on this one thing of holding the jar. And so combined with that, you know, just in terms of like sensory stimuli, like five or six other children were crammed shoulder to shoulder next to me. I mean, just imagine the sounds, the smells, the textures, the discomfort, the ridiculous, you know, the ridiculously regulated like eating times at elementary school. You know how you like you have like lunch at like 11 a.m. for 20 minutes and then you can't eat again, you know? Like I was probably either hungry or full from having to just like scarf down my lunch in 20 minutes, you know, like absurd, pure chaos. You know, just imagine the amount of sensory stimuli that I would have had to filter out. Then next is, of course, you know, what we've talked about already, which is working memory. So the teacher, you know, as we're doing this project, she's giving us instructions like as we go. So I have to remember the task that I'm on, that I'm working on, while at the same time she's describing more tasks. And I have to remember the final product, the barometer, as we're going through each individual step. And I have to hold on to one part as more parts come together and threaten my focus, you know? Like, it's not like I'm in a corner holding the jar while they're working on the rest of the project, right? Like, I'm holding it and then they're doing stuff on top of it, you know? They're moving stuff, they're taping stuff, they're hitting stuff, they're, you know, there's so much, you know, so many things to remember. And I don't even just mean like, you know, just, I don't mean that I particularly had a lot, to remember by itself, but this is where it gets into like how working memory is different from short and long-term memory, right? It's like, it's not that I had to hold information. It's that I had to manipulate information and, hear new information and integrate it as it goes, you know? And then next, of course, is like just the, I think many third graders can relate, which is like response inhibition, impulse control, you know? Do you know how many impulses an 8-year-old has to control? Like, oh my gosh, I was probably resisting scratching my nose, dancing, running, reading, and pulling my friend's hair all at the same time, you know? It's like at 8 years old, you are nothing but impulses. So involve like staying perfectly still and resisting everything else you could possibly be doing with your hands and your feet. Hard job. And another job. Then the next layer of this, of course, is, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, is proprioception, right? So proprioception is the inner sense of where every part of your body is at all times. And people with ADHD and or dyspraxia, which is a learning disability that affects your, coordination and, you know, proprioception. We often have trouble with this. We can be clumsy and, we might walk into things, because it's, it often takes a lot of conscious effort to remember or to like, not remember, but to, be able to sense where your body is and also where other things are in the room. You know, like, I think probably my hips are just permanently bruised from walking into, like, doorknobs, coffee tables, other people. You know, it's just, yeah. So it's really difficult, and it takes a lot of effort to keep track of your body and what it's doing and what kind of movements you need to be making. So in this one little thing, like holding down the rubber band, I had to keep track of where my, my feet were to remain standing, and not step on the six other classmates that were, you know, pressed against me. I had to keep track of where my hands were in relation to everyone else's hands, which were moving and, you know, taping and sticking and whatever. I also had to be aware of, like, my my pressure and my grip and grip strength, and adjust how tightly I was holding the plastic wrap and rubber band based on what the other kids were working on. Like if they were taping a straw or something on top of the plastic, like I had to, you know, adjust how tightly I was holding it. You know, if I held it too tightly, they couldn't be able to do anything on top of it. And I held too loosely, then, you know, it would come undone. So, I had to be very careful of both where my body was and what kind of, muscles I was using, you know? So it's a lot of fine motor skills on top of that, you know? Okay. I know I'm really beating to death this one example. But I hope that is a little bit of helps to illustrate that, you know, just don't lose it. Just hold on to this thing. Just, you know, be aware of yourself. Be aware of what you're doing. Don't lose, you know, don't get distracted. Don't lose, you know, your train of thought. Don't lose your focus. None of those are just, you know, appropriate for the word just, you know. And every single, you know, there were so many things that had to come together for me to not disappoint Miss Snobby. I'm not going to say her name. Because, you know, it's really cruel to call someone out for a mistake they made publicly. But yeah, so it was like a lot that had to come together for me to follow these instructions. And that's not even mentioning like, the emotional impact, you know, like, do you think I learned a single thing for the rest of the day? Do you think, like, I could retain it? Do you really think that my motor skills or my attention or my proprioception or my impulse control or my focus, you know, do you think any of those things got better? Doubt it, you know? So just like, what's my point here? I don't know. My point is be careful what you say and, you know, try to acknowledge that very rarely is it that you give anybody, but especially a kid, you give a kid one instruction and it'll ever just be one instruction. It will never be, you know, for anything, really. I mean, because there are so many tiny things in that one instruction that, you know, that are not spoken. You know, we're not used to voicing. We're not used to having to ask people to do, you know? Like, you ask a kid, just put your dishes in the dishwasher, right? That seems like it should be a simple task. But what you're really asking is stop what you're doing, take your attention off whatever you're focusing on right now, move your body, go collect your dirty dishes, and, you know, plate, fork, spoon, chopsticks, you know, glasses, you know, whatever. Collect all these different dishes and then walk them over to the dishwasher and put them in places that it makes sense, you know, like put the dishes or the glasses on the top, put the plate on the bottom, put the silverware in the, you know, it's a lot. And I think we don't often, when each one of those things requires enormous effort on your part, like a 1 point task becomes like, you know, 15 points. So my point is that be patient, try to remember how much work people with ADHD are putting in that if you are neurotypical or you don't have ADHD, you're not having to put in as much work as they are. Imagine if you had to think about it, you know, imagine if you had to I'm trying to think of something that just feels like, I mean, imagine that you, had to think every time you took a breath, you know, like imagine that something that is, automatic and has always been and has like been, you know, is very, regarded as like this, primitive, instinctual, you know, automatic thing. What if it wasn't, you know, what if you had to specifically remember, oh, I have to take a breath. Okay. Now I have to release the breath. Whew. You know, imagine if you had to think about every single thing that used to come automatically to you. And imagine how exhausting that would be. I mean, for one, you wouldn't sleep, right? You know, you'd have to just stay up all night, just remembering to breathe. So I don't know. What I'm saying is that, like, have patience for us, and also fellow ADHDers, just give yourself a lot of slack. 'Cause you're working so much harder than other people realize, you know? You are putting so much of yourself into the things that other people do without really a second thought. So no wonder you're exhausted. Go take a nap. yeah. So as always, my message is, give yourself a break. Take a nap, eat a tasty snack, you know, go do something you like to do. Yeah, you're working really hard. So, don't forget that. Okay. So, let's see, a little housekeeping. I got a little bit of a setup, still cramped, but, I put a little cubby system in my podcast closet. So I am going to start recording videos of a series of videos about ADHD and sex topics very, very soon. And it will be coming, it will be starting next Thursday. I'm going to put out the first one. And I don't know if they're all going to be like in succession. I think it kind of depends on, you know, the response of if people, are responding to it and if, how the inspiration strikes. But I will be putting something out on the Patreon, at least every other week. So on the off weeks of the podcast, that's when I'll be putting out some content on the Patreon. Even if it's just a transcript of past episodes, I will put something out there, and hopefully I will get more into a bit of a groove with that. And so I'll be able to do it quicker than once a week. But yeah, so, keep it real, folks, and, try to, I don't know, do something fun, take care of yourself, and if you were told to hold on to a literal or metaphorical rubber band and plastic wrap, and it you lost it, guess what? It's not that big of a deal. It's really fine. And anyone who makes that big of a deal out of it, you know, has some stuff to work out, and it's their problem, it's not yours. I'm only directing that to 8-year-old Abby, in case that wasn't clear. But I guess if you get something out of that, that's fine too. All right. See you later. Take care. Love ya. that's all for this episode, but there is plenty more at my website, theadhdmanual.com. That's theadhdmanual.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit at The ADHD Manual. Do you have a question, comment, or story? Then I want to hear it. Email me at theadhdmanual@gmail.com. Very special thank you to my brother, Joe Miner, for composing this theme music, and thank you so much for listening. And remember to be kind to yourself. See you next time.